Turn to John 15. We were there last Wednesday evening. We're going back there tonight. John chapter 15, the vine chapter, the fruit chapter, right? While you're turning there, let me ask you to ponder this. Have you ever felt like God's not happy with you? Maybe because you feel like your Christian life is a failure and you're really not making much of a difference in other people's lives. Or perhaps there's little or nothing really of eternal significance about your life. That'd be a horrible thing to come to, you know, the autumn years of your life and realize, you know, there's nothing of real eternal significance. I don't really have anything to show for all these years I've lived. Jesus said, look with me in John 15 and verses 2 and 3. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now pause and think about what he said there. What Jesus is stating in just that one clause is that it is possible for you to be a Christian. He says, every branch in me. It's possible for you to be a Christian and yet bear no spiritual fruit for an extended period of time. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Here Jesus reveals how he can turn a fruitless, a barren life into really a beautiful, fruitful one. Look at verse 3. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's in the context of a branch in him, a Christian, that is fruitless. So my question is, so what does cleansing have to do with a branch that doesn't produce any fruit? Now are you clean, he says in that third verse. I want to share three ups with you. I want to look at verses 2 and 3, and I want to speak to you about a lift up, a clean up, and then finally a train up, okay? You don't know what I'm talking about? You will in a moment. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have this evening to just ponder just simple words that you spoke. And Lord, yet they are filled with deep meaning. And they can mean the difference between a life that really has no purpose or significance eternally and one that will enjoy eternal reward. Father, we pray that you would waken us because we've been wasting our lives, a lot of us, for a long time, have been wasting our lives on things that really don't matter for eternity. We've been sidetracked. We've been distracted. We're easily distracted. That's why you said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's very distracting, alluring. So, Lord, make us fruitful. Help us understand what fruitfulness is. Help us to see that this is really what you want from us. This is the purpose of the Christian life, is fruitfulness. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that we learn how we can be fulfilling life's purpose and be fruitful believers in Jesus' name. Amen. So I take you back to that second verse. And again, we had the picture up here last week of a beautiful vineyard, a beautiful vine with luscious grapes hanging on the branches. And we talked about the difference between the vine and the branches and the vine keeper, who is called the husbandman in verse 1, which Jesus says is the Heavenly Father. But I want you to key in with me as we begin with that first phrase there in the second verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. See those two words, taketh away? It's actually one word in the original language. And that word means to lift up. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he lifts up, is the way that we ought to understand that. In fact, the words take away are translated in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 20 of taking up, as the apostles, the disciples, following the feeding of the 5,000, took up 12 basketfuls. It's also, this word is used in Matthew chapter 14, or 27 rather, and verse 32, where a man called Simon is put upon by the Roman soldiers to bear the cross of Jesus. Remember that? The word bear is the same word that is translated here, taketh away. It's never used. That word taketh away, translated taketh away, that word is never used to denote being cut off. It's never used to mean cut off. It means to lift up. And the suggested picture that Jesus is painting for these disciples is that the vine keeper is leaning over to lift up the branch, because the natural tendency of a great branch is to turn downward towards the ground and then grow along the ground. That's the tendency. But when that happens, you know what that does to the branch? It covers the branch with dust. And when it rains, that dust turns into mud. And that mud causes mildew on the branch, and it brings disease to the great branch. And so as a result, the vine keeper, what he does is he lifts up a branch that is down, and he wraps it around the trellis. I wish I had the picture again, but I don't know what we do. He wraps it around the trellis, or he ties it onto the trellis so that it's lifted up. And the picture that Jesus wants us, there it is. There you go. Look at that. Isn't he great? I mean Jesus. Look at the picture here. See the trellis? Here it's wire that the branches are either wrapped or tied onto. And what Jesus is saying here about our Heavenly Father, who is the vine keeper, he's saying that an unfruitful Christian is not thrown away by God, is not abandoned by the Lord, but rather the Father gently lifts up the believer to attach them, can I say, to the trellis of God's will for their life? Attach them to God's purpose for their life, so he helps them to flourish in it. And then look at verse 3. I'll finish out verse 2, where he says, in every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then he says to them, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, the word translated clean there in that verse, we get our English word catharsis from, or cleansing. And the vine keeper, when he tends to the vines, he carries a bucket of water with him. And before he lifts up that branch and attaches it to the trellis, what he does is he takes that bucket of water, and he will wash that dirty branch, that muddy branch. He will wash it before he attaches it to the trellis. He'd wash the dirt off of the dirty branch so that when it's attached, it's not hindered by the dirt or the mud. The air and the sunlight can surround it, and fruit can develop on that branch then. And the picture I think Jesus is painting for us here is that in unfruitful Christian lives, what the Lord does, what our Heavenly Father does, is he realizes that sin in our life is like dirt on a grape branch. Sin is like dirt that hides the beautiful purpose of the Christian life. And so what the Lord does is he washes our soul with the Word of God. This is one reason why it's so important that you have a daily cleansing in God's Word. This is why it's vital that you expose yourself to the Scripture every day, and that you not only read it, but you let it read you. You not only seek to understand the Scripture, but you let the Scripture expose you for who and what you are in your spiritual need. So the Lord uses the Word of God as the washing of the water. And the Holy Spirit uses the Scripture to shine the bright light of conviction in our hearts when the Word of God speaks to us. And when we confess then what the Holy Spirit anointed Word of God exposes in us, and we trust him then to forgive, he cleanses us, just as the Scripture says. And he breathes the fresh air of Jesus' life through our lives as branches. So, what does he do to unfruitful Christians? He doesn't cut them off. He doesn't throw them away. He doesn't abandon them. He lifts them up. He cleans them up. And then thirdly, he trains them up. And here's what I mean by that. In verse 2, it says, every branch, without exception, whether they are fruitful or not, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If you bear any fruit for the Lord, you can expect that he is going to do some purging. What's interesting to me is that the word purgeth in verse 2 is from the same root word in the original language that the word clean is in verse 3. But it's very clear that the purging is a different kind of cleaning. It's a different kind of cleansing. The purging here is actually a reference to pruning. I don't know if any of you have either a flower garden or a little vegetable patch or whatever. You know what pruning is? Well, on a grapevine, on the branches, there are, I don't know, they're called suckers. And they are just branches that spring up, that just, they're not part of the branch that bears fruit, but they're unnecessary. And what the vine keeper does is he snips those suckers on the branch so that they don't have the opportunity to suck all the nutrients that would hinder the branch from being fruitful. You get the picture? Okay. So if your Christian life is bearing a little fruit, God's going to purge it. Because God doesn't just want a little fruit from our lives. He wants a lot. As he says in verse 8, he wants much fruit. And so he is going to prune our lives. He's going to do that purging that he talks about. He's going to remove the unnecessary growth in our life. It may not even be sinful, but it just may be distracting stuff. Sometimes family life can be like those suckers that distract us from what we're supposed to be focused on. We're supposed to honor our families, but they're not to be the center of our life. Christ is to be the center of our life. But there's other things that are not sinful in themselves, but are distracting. And the Lord sometimes trims those. He snips them so that they don't suck the fruitfulness out of our lives. Sometimes he cuts sinful things out of our lives that are going to hinder the development of fruitfulness in us. You know what this is about? Purging the vine or pruning the vine. It's about chastening. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. Hebrews chapter 12. The very famous passage that has to do with the chastening of the Lord. In verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews 12, we read, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son or my child, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, nor quit when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth," there's the word again, "and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, you should understand that the word chastening in verse 5 and the word chasteneth in verse 6, and again in verse 7 it appears, and 8, all of those words actually have at the root of them the word child. The word chastening literally means child training. You know, the Bible says, train up a child. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Well, this is what chastening is. It's God's training up of his child, of his children. Chastening primarily denotes God's child training program, if I could put it that way. And notice verse 6 says, he does it out of love. And remember, Jesus said in John 15, 2, all believers experience it. If you're a believer, you're being trained up. You're being chastened. You're being child trained. All believers experience it. Why would a loving God introduce pain into his children's lives? Well, why would a father or a mother introduce discipline into their children's lives? The most unloving thing I believe that a parent can do is just let their children do whatever they want. You actually ruin and destroy your children if you don't use discipline in their lives. God does it out of love. He tells us why he does it. Look at verse 10. He says that our own earthly fathers, they chastened us after their own pleasure, for their own well-being. You know, give me a little peace, will you? I'm going to knock you into the next realm if you don't shut up. You know, give me a little peace. We do it for our own profit, our own benefit, but not God. Look at verse 10. But he, that is our heavenly Father, he chastens us. He child trains us for our own profit. He does it for our own good. In fact, in verse 11, he says, it's not pleasant to be under God's child training program. It's grievous at times, but in the end, it yields fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is how we become fruitful Christians. God lifts us up. God cleans us up. God trains us up, is what he's saying here. It's God's training, and it's intended to nudge you, to bring you toward him. It's intended to cause you to love him and to realize that he's doing this because he loves you and he's wiser than you. And he's going to be persistent because He wants your life to fulfill its purpose. And the purpose of your Christian life is fruitfulness. If you're unfruitful, you are not fulfilling the purpose of a Christian life. When I was a child, it seems like I always learned the hard way. You know, I didn't listen. Instead, I had to get the spankings over and over again, sometimes for the same thing, because I was stubborn. And I learned the hard way. Some of my kids, I remember, were like that too. Interesting. I was reaping what I sowed. But you know what? Some of my children realized early on that if they listened to me, they wouldn't need to be chastened by me. And their lives were a little more peaceful than some of the others, that certainly than mine was when I was a child. When I had to chasten my kids, I didn't stop loving them. Neither did my dad stop loving me when he chastened me. But you know what Satan wants you to think? When you're chastened by the Lord, when you're in that child training and the Lord is chastening you, Satan wants you to think God doesn't love you as much as he loves others and that you're not valuable or worthwhile to him. But actually the opposite is true, because in verse 8, it says, if you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're illegitimate. You're not a real child of God. So it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. If he chastens you, it means he loves you. You're real. You really are a Christian, is what he's saying. So just a few questions to ponder as we close. Is your branch sick? Are you a sickly, diseased branch? You feel trapped in disappointment in a painful life? Part of your misery may be this. You have an empty fruit basket. You're unfruitful because you've been focused on the wrong thing. You've missed life's purpose, and that is spiritual fruit in your life. You're not living up to your purpose. Why God's kept you alive all these years, however many years you've been alive, is because he wants you to live up to your purpose. Perhaps you're not, because you're harboring bitterness. Maybe you're bitter about your lot in life, or you're bitter at some person. Well, believe it or not, God's at work in your life, regardless of what condition you find it in. God's at work in your life right now. And you know what he's doing? He's seeking you. He's seeking to lift you up. He's seeking to clean you up. He's seeking to train you up so you fulfill the purpose for which you are living. Much fruit.